Good evening, everyone. Good to see those of you who have come back for this evening worship. We are thankful to God first because God has made all this possible for us to be here in this place, able to once again expound on His Word and maybe learn a little something that's going to help us as we continue to grow and as we continue to strive to do God's will. Tonight, I thought we'd talk about standing fast. This is going to come from Galatians chapter 5 and beginning at verse number 1 and ending at verse number 7. I thought that this would be a very good lesson for those of us who are in Christ and maybe for those who are teetering, wondering about where they should put their trust. Well, I tell you, your trust should be in the Lord, and we should be following His Word every day. But sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we find ourselves being misled and misguided. And here in the book of Galatians, this is one of those letters that Paul wrote to the church of Galatia, the churches of Galatia, and he was trying to help them to understand that they had a great faith. That when Paul had came to them, he had taught them, and he had taught them by the Holy Spirit, by God, what they needed to do in order to be saved. But then there were others who had came about who were beginning to teach them other doctrines that would lead them away from Christ. So Paul had to bring it back to where it should be. And I was asked on Tuesday by the brethren here and to get a lesson together, and I was so thankful that I got that call, and made me feel really good that I was able to stand before you again and present a lesson. And I agonized over it. I said, well, what should I speak about? And I always remember what preachers from my past used to always say, you just preach about Christ. Preach about the Lord. Preach about God's Word. And I remember an old joke that I heard one time, a story that I heard about a young boy. His name was Johnny, and he was in Bible class. And the teacher got up, and she asked a question. She said, what's brown and furry with a bushy tail, climbs trees, and eats nuts? So Johnny in the back said, Jesus! So the teacher looked, and she was like, what? Now, you know that's not the answer. So she said, let me ask it again. She said, what's brown and furry, has a bushy tail, climbs trees, and eats nuts? The boy said, Jesus. So she said, he's just being disruptive. So she left class. She went and got his father, brought him in, and she told him, he said, your son is being disruptive in class. You know, I asked the question, and he gave the wrong answer. So he said, let me go in here and find out. So he goes and he sits next to his son, and he says, go ahead, ask your question, teacher. She said, what's brown and furry, has a bushy tail, climbs trees and eats nuts? Little boy said, Jesus! So father looked at him and said, now, son, you know that's not the answer. He said, yeah, Dad, I know it's a squirrel, but I think since we're in Bible class, we should be talking about Jesus. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about Jesus. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world. There's a lot of stuff that I've been hearing preachers talk about in their sermons, worried about what's going to happen, trying to predict all this type of stuff. We just need to focus on the Lord because the answer is in Him. If the world could understand that, the answer is coming to Christ, obeying His will, and doing His will, we wouldn't have half the problems that we have today. And I say half the problems because just some people are just not going to get it. And we're always going to have certain problems in this world. So Galatians chapter 5, here's an issue where Paul was dealing with some issues that was coming about to these Christians that had obeyed the gospel of Christ and now were being persuaded to do something else. So in Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1, he says, for stand fast, or in some of your versions might say, stand firm, therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, here's the issue, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen away from grace, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but faith working through love. He says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? So let's unpack this a little bit, because Paul begins, as I said, to deal with what was happening with them as people from without was coming in and trying to convince them that they needed to do something more than what they had already done. So in this portion of the letter, he tries to encourage the saints to stand fast or to stand firm. That is, that they are to remain strong in the faith and the teachings that they received, which made them free from sin. And try not to be misguided by those who try to pervert the gospel of Christ and entangle them again, like he said, in the yoke of bondage. Now, in context here, he's talking about the law. The law of Moses, which commanded circumcision, which was also what was given to Abraham at first to make a covenant agreement with God. So now these people were being told that they were to be circumcised in order for them to come in covenant agreement with God. They had already been saved. And Paul makes this clear in chapter 1 and chapter 2, and where he tells them, he said, you've heard the gospel. The Spirit has came upon you. So now that you know that you already have been received, why are you turning back to something that is under an old law? He calls it the yoke of bondage. And when I was thinking about this, I was saying, you know, even today, we can find ourselves under a yoke of bondage for certain things that we begin to do that are outside of what Christ, what outside of the law of Christ, have commanded us to do. And sometimes our yoke might be riches. You know, we think we got to have all the money in the world, and we strive to do anything we can in order to obtain that. Sometimes it could be our desires, sexual desires, desires for things that really do not amount to much, not on this earth. Because we always say, everything that you gain on this earth, once you die, you don't have it anymore. It's all gone. You know, the old preachers used to say, and other people used to say, you never seen a U-Haul following a hearse. So sometimes we get so caught up with the worldly things and things that we want in this world, and we make that a yoke of bondage from us following Christ. Sometimes, as I just said, world affairs, things that are going on in the world. We get so caught up in those things, and we forget about doing kingdom business. You know, the things that we need to do in order to build not only ourselves, but our fellow brothers and sisters as well. We forget about those things. We talk about what's going on in politics and what's going on in the world. What's going on with the church? What's going on with our lives and the things that we need amongst one another? I remember not too long ago, too, and some of us brothers was talking about this here, and sometimes at work, I said, I remember when I was growing up, I get with my friends and our conversations about basketball and football and some of the things, the activities that we used to do. And nowadays we talk about our ailments and, you know, my back and my arm and my leg and all this. Things change. They do. Our lives change and our conversation changes. But for a Christian, our conversation should always be focused on the Lord and what the Lord would have us to do. Don't get me wrong. We can have great conversations. Sometimes me and Rob will talk about football and stuff like that. That's all great and good. But we don't make it a focus of our life. We don't make it a focus that takes us away from kingdom business. And sometimes that we can make these other things yokes around us. Just like what was happening here. The yoke is a constraint on you that keeps you from doing what you should be doing. And here, these people were trying to, these people were the Jewish Christians that had came into obeying Christ, but still wanted to hold on to the old law, Moses' law. Now, I said that one time, said Moses' law. I said, wasn't it God's law? Yeah, it was God's law, but it was given through Moses. But that was done away. It was over with. Colossians chapter 2, the Bible tells us this in verse number 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. The old law was done. It was over. Remember when Jesus was on the cross? And one of the last things that he said before he died, he says, it is finished. I was having a conversation with somebody about that, and they didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. What Jesus had oftentimes in his ministry talked about that the people thought they knew the scriptures, but the scriptures was talking about him. He came to fulfill the law. And the question is, did he? Yes, he did. And when he died on the cross, he fulfilled all of those things that was in the Old Testament that was prophesying about him. So he was taking charge of now being the head of the church, the kingdom of God. And when he died on that cross, the old law was done away. That's why Paul was dealing with the fact that you should not be under the yoke of bondage. And we should not be under the yoke of bondage of things that keep us from following the Lord. You know, actually, the only yoke we should be under is the yoke of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, it says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You want to be under a yoke, be under the yoke of Jesus. So now, back in Galatians and looking at verse number 2, notice what it says here. He says, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Well, that's a big statement right there. Because they had already obeyed the gospel. But now he says, if you go back to doing those things under the law, then Christ profits you nothing. When you get a chance, read chapter 3 of this book to the Galatians churches. Because he breaks it down so eloquently. And he breaks it down to them to understand that even though these Jews are telling you need to do this, guess what? They need to do what you're doing in order to be saved. Because it's not about who your daddy was, because, you know, the Jews are always talking about our father Abraham. It's not about that. It's about the faith that you have in Christ Jesus. And in Galatians chapter 3, as a matter of fact, if you look at back there in the verse number 6, it says, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. So if you want to ask who Abraham's offspring are, we are. Those of faith. And the promises that was given to Abraham are the promises that fall on us. So therefore, when they tried to use that example of them being the sons of Abraham, well, Paul says that we're all sons of Abraham. That means that we have obeyed Christ, and therefore, in verse 28 of chapter number 3, he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. He says, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. So he tries to caution them and say that if you go back to that, then he says that Christ profits you nothing. I like that verse because it says that Christ profit. So in turn, it means that Christ, we have a prophet in Christ. Not prophet meaning one who predicts, but we gain something. by being in Christ. But if we don't, if we're not in Christ, we're gaining nothing. All the love, the care, everything that the Lord has promised to us, nothing. Because we're following something else. These Gentiles, they have been added to the body. But now being told they needed to do something else. And unfortunately, those who had already obeyed the gospel were being convinced that they needed to do more to receive the grace of God. So once again, like I said, Paul says, if you're circumcised, Christ profited you nothing. Because you can't be under two systems. You can't be under two faith systems. You're either going to be with Christ or you're going to be against Christ. And I think about that in the world today. See, you can't be under two things. You can't be in Christ and in the world because it just does not mix. And some people want it to mix. They want to be able to say, I can do those things over here in the world, but yet I believe in you, God, and I want to follow you. Well, you got to give up one or the other. You can't be in the world and be in Christ. 1 John chapter 2, 15 and 17. We heard that this morning, Brother Rob's sermon there, and we're going to hear it again. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God, oh, I like this, abides forever. I don't know how somebody could read that and not want to be a part of Christ. Because as it says, the world is passing away. And I know some people think that means the physical world. And yeah, that's going to pass away too, according to Peter, that physical world. But he's talking about the things of the world, the things that you put so much emphasis on. It's not going to be there anymore. And you should know that from the fact that we don't live forever. We die. And once we die, what do you have? Not the world. But you better have Jesus. Because he's the only one that can take you from this place to the next place. So he says this to them. And also, before I go there, you know, here's another scripture in James chapter 4 and verse number 4. He says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That's one person I don't want to be an enemy of, not God. So when we look at this, we cannot be subject to the things of the world, but we need to be subject to God. And not only that, we need not to be subject to the false teachings that are going on in the world as well. Because there are a lot of people out there who are teaching false doctrine and leading people straight, well, not to heaven. And therefore, we need to be cautious of those things. That's why we need to study God's word. We need to do what God has instructed us to do, enable that we are able to determine what God says and what man says. This is scripture over in Matthew chapter 15. I do have that one down. It says, hypocrites, well did Isaiah, and Jesus is talking to the Jews at this time, those Jewish leaders at that time. He says, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's a lot of people today. They'll say some good things. They'll talk about the Lord. They'll talk about Christ. But their heart is really far from him. And why? He said, because in vain they worship me. They do worship him. But they're teaching as doctrines. That's teaching, okay? the commandments of men. And that's what we run into a lot today. Men are not teaching the commandments of God, but they're teaching the commandments of men. You've probably heard a lot about the preachers and teachers in the world who are teaching all this stuff about prosperity and the more you give, the more you get. They're teaching doctrines and commandments of men because they don't love the Lord. They just love the loot. And the more they can get out of you, the more they can do what they want to do while you still suffer. We need to understand that we need to follow God and follow God only. So in verse number 3 of Galatians chapter 5, he says, "And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law." And understand this now. Paul is saying that if you're under the old covenant, if you do these things, then you are required to keep the whole law. Not just the circumcision, but you are required to keep the whole law. That means Sabbath day worship, daily sacrifices. They will be obligated to those things, and that's what Paul is trying to let them know. And doing so, they will be denying the sacrifices of the true Lamb of God who died for our sin, which is our Lord Jesus, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So what he is trying to get them to understand is that they have to weed out the old leaven of the Old Testament. It needs to be purged out so that the new leaven can come in. And the same with us today. We need to purge out sin from our lives so that we can become a new lump and allow the Spirit of God to operate in our lives. There's a scripture over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. It says, "Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." So now, verse number 4 of Galatians chapter 5. Notice what it says here. He says, "If you are a debtor to the law," verse number 3, "you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law," he says, "you have fallen from grace." If you give in to false teachers who are trying to get you to turn away from the faith in which you have first believed and were saved, with all the world, the way that the world is talking about certain things and changing all kind of things around, telling you that God is good with this and God is good with that, without giving you scripture verse for all of this, then you're going to find yourself believing things that are going to be detrimental to your eternal soul. Notice what he says here. He says, "You have become estranged, alienated, or set apart from Christ." And then he says, "You have fallen from grace." Now, I was going to let this one go by a little bit, you know, because we talked about this fact that we know that the once saved, always saved doctrine is not true. But I thought that's one of those doctrines that are by man. But here it talks about you have fallen from grace. So that lets me know that Christians who have obeyed the gospel of Christ can fall from grace. This scripture and other scriptures, the scripture like in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 and 22, just affirms the fact that once saved, always saved is a false doctrine, taught not by God, but by man, and therefore it should be refuted and denounced so that people won't lose their souls believing that lie. Because the apostle says to them, and he says to us, if we turn from the faith, or if we sin, which is what they would be doing by accepting another teaching, they will lose their soul because they have fallen from grace. So it is possible to lose what you have, and it would be in need of you to repent of that thing and come back and get it right with God. But now let's take a look at something else here. So I'm trying to hasten to an end here. It says, but look at what Paul is trying to say to them in verses 5 and verse number 6 of Galatians chapter 5. He says, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. He says in verse 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith worketh through love. Our salvation is through our faith in Christ and our obedience to his commands. That's how we're saved. And like he says there in verse number 5, it's by faith through the Spirit. It's because we are to be led by the Spirit, and that is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is who gives us hope of God's precious promise, which is the righteousness of God, which we will receive by faith and not by works of the law. Ephesians, I think I went backwards here. Well, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13 and 14, the Bible says this, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. You know what that tells me? This should tell you that when the time is right, God's coming to get us. He promised that to us. We are his precious possessions. And those of us who have hope in this, we believe on the promise because the Holy Spirit is our down payment. He is our guarantor that what God says he will do, he is going to do. So I might labor in this world for a while, but I know sooner or later God's coming to get me and take me back where he is. This is why it's so important. And Paul is trying to get them to see that if we turn to another source for our salvation, we'll find ourselves in sin. And if we find ourselves in sin, we will lose out on the most precious thing that we have, and that is eternal life. This is why he tells them to stand fast in the first part there. He tells them to stand fast because we cannot lose our faith because then we will lose out on salvation. We got to trust in God. We got to be determined to follow God and do God's will. Paul talks about this in Philippians chapter 2. The whole thing is 12:16, but I like the last part where he says, you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's up to us to do this. For us Christians who have already received salvation, we need to recognize this, that we need to continue to work strong and maintain an attitude of reverence towards God and continue to do his will and abide in it. It is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to do this, not the elders, not the preacher, you know, not the Bible school teacher. It is our responsibility to work out our own soul and salvation. It would be great if I could make it in off of my parents' faith, but that's not going to work. I have to be responsible for myself. And we cannot just rest on our achievements and also think that we've already achieved. Because as long as we're here on this earth, we're going to have to continue to stand fast and stand firm, keeping guard of our souls. Verse number 7, I'm hastening to an end here. He says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? And that's a question I like to ask some people today. You started off well, but now who hindered you from obeying the truth? Paul makes this analogy in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 24. Rob, did I have that one up there? Yes, I do. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize. He says, run in such a way that you may obtain it. The idea that Paul is giving us right now is that the Christian life is that it is a competition, but it's not a competition between God and Satan, because this isn't like God and Satan are competing to see who gets the most souls. This is not a competition like that. God's already won. And if you're on Satan's side, you're already on the losing side. But this is a competition and a race between sin and us. And sin is trying to hinder you in this competition. He says you ran well. In other words, they started off okay, but now something or someone has hindered them. But what got in the way? And like I said, that's a good question for us today. Some of us who have ran this race and have been in this race, but we have found ourselves falling back. Back in the day, we used to call it backsliding. I think we still do sometimes. But we find ourselves doing that, and you ask yourself the question, what has hindered you from your race to heaven? So, not only is this a question for those who have fallen away, but it's a question for those who have not obeyed the gospel, period. What is hindering you from obeying the gospel? Things aren't getting better in this world, and you can see that. So when I look around, and this is personal to me, when I look around, I say to myself, there's got to be something better than this. And I know that there is. Because the Bible teaches me this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Like Peter said, we're just sojourners here. We're just passing through. And the Bible tells me where we're passing through to, those who are obedient. And that sure sounds like a lot better place than here. And that's where I want to be. So the question is, why are you hesitating? Why would you go back? Jesus said this about the world. He said in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, he says, what profit is it a man to have gained the whole world and lose his own soul? But then he puts something else in there. He says, what will a man give for his soul? Now that's a question right there that needs to be answered. What would you give for your soul? Well, some people, as I said earlier, would give up their soul for wealth. Remember the story in Matthew chapter 19, the rich young ruler? How he came to Jesus, he asked him a question about what should I do to obtain eternal life, and Jesus told him, obey the law. And I know people will say, well, Jesus was under law. That's right, he was born under law. Galatians tells us that. But once he died, law ended, because he was the testator of the New Testament. But while he was on earth, he pointed people to the law, because the law was still in effect. Okay, so he told them, obey your parents, you know, honor your mother and father, and those things. And so the rich young ruler said, I've done all those things from my youth. Okay, check the box off, you did. But he was lacking one thing. And Jesus knew what it was. His heart was not really in it, because his heart was someplace else. He said, go sell all that you have and follow me. And you know what the Bible says? He went away sad. And the reason why he went away sad is because he knew what the right thing to do. But he just couldn't give up the wealth and the riches. Maybe that's your problem. Maybe you can't give up the wealth and the riches. And you don't have to have a lot of riches. It's just the things that you possess, sometimes we put it before the Lord. Maybe it's fleshly pleasures that you want to give up, that you can't give up. And you know, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 5, it tells us that we need to put those things aside, because those things are cardinal. And we need to put on the Spirit so that we become walking in the Spirit. And maybe it could be family and friends that you don't want to give up. But Jesus said, in order to follow him, you have to bear your cross to follow him. Maybe your family and friends mean more to you than your salvation. And I know that's a hard one, but Jesus said you have to hate mother and father, sister and brother, in order to follow him. Over there in Luke chapter 14 and verse number 26. So we have to ask ourselves the question, how committed are we to following the Lord? We need to stand fast. We need to stand firm. And the way we can do that is by resisting the devil. Because the devil doesn't want you to do that. Last point, and I'm going to be done. I promise you that. When we resist the devil can't mess with us. But how do we resist the devil? Well, the book of James, it tells us what we need to do. I don't know if I have that up there for your reading. Nope, I don't. But in the book of James, in chapter number 4, the Bible says there, submit to God. I believe that's what it says, right? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I like that. And then the next part says, you draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. But how do we do that? We have to cleanse our hands, he says, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Remember I said earlier that you can't be in both places? You can't be in the world and be in Christ? That's that double mind. But he said we need to cleanse our hands, and we need to draw near to God, because if you draw near to God, guess what? God draws near to you. And if we submit to God, we can resist the devil. And notice what it says. It says that the devil will flee from you. Get it now. You see, we all the time think that we gotta run from the devil. But when you keep looking back, the devil ain't gonna give up. That's why Peter said he's like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he can devour. But if the Bible says that if we submit to God, we can resist the devil and he will flee from us, that's the position I want to be. I want to be in a position that when that old roaring lion comes after me and he gets to me, he says, oh no, I can't mess with him. He's got the armor of God on him, Ephesians chapter 6. And he will flee from me. I want him on the run. I don't want to always have to be on the run from him. And the only way I'm going to achieve that is if I stay strong in the Lord and I keep doing his will. I put on that armor of God and the devil can't mess with me. I hope that's the position you want to be in, because it can be yours. The Bible promises us that. God's word promises us that we can do great things if we are in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that is within us than is in the world. You believe that? If you do, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, whatever your situation may be. Maybe you need to come and repent of your sins and change your life and rededicate your life to him. Maybe you haven't been baptized into Christ, and you need now to do so. It's your decision. Because the Bible teaches us that we must come to him according to his will, not ours, but according to his will. So it's decision time for you. And if you're doing all right with the Lord, thank God. Keep on keeping on. Stand fast. Stand firm. Don't let anything persuade you away. We have an invitation song, hymn number 285. number 285. And if you need to come and we can help you with anything, please come as we stand and sing this invitation song.